Welcome to Real Estate Radio Live, an informative and engaging podcast discussing everything you need to know about the world of real estate. Your host, Joe Cacera, provides you with insight and guidance on how to buy, sell, finance, and invest in real estate. He also offers real estate tax management strategies, new construction advice, home improvement tips, and much, much more. And now, to guide you around the world of real estate, here's your host and Real Estate Radio Live team leader, Joe Cacera.
Welcome in, Joe Cacera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you for those that are joining us today on Facebook. As always, I have little complications back and forth, and obviously a couple different conversations as well, but I am here as we normally try to do on Thursdays, not every week, but Jack Russo is with us here from his compounds, his compound in Palo Alto, and we're going to talk about the future of California real estate. This is part two, so we're ready to go, Jack. And you're still kind of hunkered down, locked down into your facilities there in Palo Alto, aren't you?
I have to tell you, Joe, first of all, you are a master technician that you get Murphy's Law to be defeated in the face of adversity. So there is a role for you as an audio engineer, regardless of what happens to the show. That's part one. And, you know, there's funny derivatives of that that I won't get into because I don't want to derail the show. But part two is I actually like Palo Alto more without cars. Palo Alto is completely closed. Let me tell you how beautiful that is, because I'm riding my bike from home, which is 9 miles away. So I do 18 miles on a bike round trip every day. You got to see my leg muscles, man. I'm trying to get back to that high school look. But I have to say, when you get to downtown Palo Alto, there is no traffic on University. It is closed. And I literally zip from the Stanford campus. You cannot catch me. If you had a car, you couldn't catch me. If you had a motorcycle, you couldn't catch me, because I zip. You'd have to have like a helicopter. I zip from Stanford campus through Palm Drive to University nonstop. I mean, people look at me, they turn their heads like, whoa, what just happened? And I have to say, I feel like a teenager doing that, because as you know, I used to ride my bike uptown Manhattan along Second Avenue to get to my offices on 82nd Street from Brooklyn over the bridge. And that was even a longer ride. And it was nonstop, except the taxis used to almost kill you. And of course, there were red lights that you typically had to stop for, although rarely did I stop. But the beauty of downtown Palo Alto, and by the way, not to advertise for downtown Palo Alto, all of the restaurants have outdoor tables. It is like you're in Europe. It really is kind of a nice setting. I think they should permanently close it. People are pulling their hair out because they can't drive a car. I say, get a bicycle. Forget about driving your car. They should have like rental bicycles at the end of the campus, or just let people ride like Google.
I'll tell you what. I like what you're talking about. And I agree with you 100%. They did what's called a road diet in Willow Glen, in the town in which I work, and or I should say live. And people went crazy, and now they get used to it. And I would agree with you. Listen, the Google Village that's still on the map to be built, that whole area is designed so a car will never enter into that entire village.
So why not go to a bicycle-oriented economy?
I agree.
If you think about it, we cannot sustain ourselves without reducing the carbon footprint. So why not force it? Because we're going to talk about this, but the livability of a place is directly correlated to whether people stay. Right. When there's too much traffic, people pull their hair out. When they can't find parking, when they feel like their life is miserable because they can't buy a container of milk without like spending a fortune of time, they start thinking about moving.
Yeah.
And that's part of the series, which is, are we going to lose all the talent from California and particularly from Silicon Valley because people just start pulling their hair out saying it's not worth it to stay here anymore? Yeah, and I'm getting more and more of these calls almost daily from people saying, so what if I left California? What do I have to worry about legally? What do I have to worry about from a tax point of view? What do I have to worry about from a business point of view?
Right. Yeah, no, it's a good point. And this is our second series, or our second show, I should say, on the future of real estate in California. And this all ties together. Right before we came on, we were talking a little bit about some of the stuff that Jack was sharing with me about the law firm. But what one of the things that came up, and this affects the future of real estate in California, that is, most people heard that 2 days ago, Google announced that until July of 2021, it's not voluntary, it's mandatory. All 200,000 plus employees will work from home. And so as we have this conversation about what is the future of the California real estate look like, this affects residential, commercial, and every little bit of what we're talking about, all the way down to the fact that Palo Alto has closed off cars, right?
Right. And I like it, but there are definitely elderly people who don't. There are definitely elderly people that any change at all that you do, they get upset with. I mean, look, downtown Palo Alto has always had multiple drugstores, Walgreens, Long, CVS. Now Walgreens just closed. That store was there since the early 1900s. Do you know how many older people are upset? That was their drugstore for the last 60 years, 70 years. That's where they went. The fact that there's another drugstore two blocks away is upsetting them.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's talk about this. I think when you have a dialogue or conversation about how the world and the environment has changed and how it relates to California real estate, and I'm glad you brought this up, people that go into Walgreens or Safeway or Whole Foods or whatever, guess what? There's a huge increase in home delivery services. So why would a percentage of people even get in their car anymore, right?
Because they don't trust the people. They don't like that. There are still people like my mom, 90 in Florida, not here, but it would be true here. I don't trust that they're going to pick the best grapefruit for me.
I don't trust
that they're going to actually, when I order four grapefruits and I find three in the bag, even if they only charge for three, she gets upset. Where's the fourth grapefruit? Like, is that crazy? You know, we're totally flexible. You're going to eat cornflakes one day, and if they give you Wheaties instead of cornflakes, you're going to eat the Wheaties. She'd be pissed off that it was Wheaties instead of cornflakes.
Yeah. No, I agree. So, in terms of real estate, this is part two. Again, we're having a conversation in and around how it's going to affect. And I think part two here is really about, last time we talked about how it affects it in general, how people are leaving the Arizona, Nevada, places like that, businesses. You just saw that Elon Musk, he did pull the plug. It looks like he's getting ready to build that facility in Austin.
It's happening.
So this shows a little bit about, it's going to be somewhat short, because we got to cut out in about 15, 20 minutes, but a little bit about what about the people that are leaving California out of the country?
Right. And out of the country has really three different parts to it. There's out of the country as in I am literally giving up my U.S. passport. That's the extreme version. I am exiting. I am actually going to pay the exit tax, which is like you've died.
Right.
Like an estate tax. So if your estate, like Elon Musk, is worth many billions of dollars, the estate tax is $22 million if you're married. I don't think he's married anymore, so maybe only 11 or 12 as to him. Yeah. He's got a huge estate tax liability potential. There's lots of ways to try to get around an estate tax, but the estate tax is replaced by the exit tax. If you announce to the government, if you say, look, I'm giving you my passport back. I don't want your stinking passport. I'm not a U.S. citizen anymore. I'm getting citizenship in, and then pick the country and we can talk about the different countries. Right. The U.S. says, really? Are you sure? Are you sure you want to leave? And then you say, yeah, I've made up my mind. Okay, let's go over every asset you have worldwide. Let's pay attention to every last paperclip that you have.
Interesting. Okay.
Like, let's do the tally. And then you have to do an exit report like you died, like an estate report.
Really?
There's been 5,000, I think the last report was, it was something like 5,500 people left the United States permanently, as in I'm giving up my passport. If you want to come back as a citizen, you have to apply and take an exam.
Boy.
You don't get a free get out of jail card, come back. You gave up, you paid your exit, you're gone. Wherever you go is where you're going to get taxed, if any, because some places you go, there's no tax, zero.
So you're Yeah, so you bring up a good point. All these people that emotionally or irrationally say, I'm getting the hell out of here. What you're saying is be careful before you say that because there's more implications.
Well, you got to be awake to the consequences, right? Because you could exit and keep your U.S. passport, but then you pay, with one exception, which we're going to talk about, you still pay a U.S. tax. So a friend of mine who's a U.S. citizen, for reasons having to do with, he married a woman who was a British citizen. She came to the U.S. and worked at Apple in a number of the places. I won't use their names to keep their innocence, but I'll send them the podcast to say, we know you're talking about us. Really nice person, really nice gentleman, really nice wife, really great couple, great family. And at some point he said, you know, I think it's time for us to go back to England. We've spent our 30 odd years in Silicon Valley. We've made a lot of money. We like the national healthcare system. Maybe they don't perfectly like it, but they like it enough better than Obamacare. Yeah. It's a safety net. They decide to move back to England. They still file tax returns in the U.S. Yeah. He's still a U.S. citizen. She's a British citizen with the right to work in the U.S. based on the status that she had married to him, and also because Apple got her H1B1 or whatever was the particular code at the time, because she's a very special person. So she has special talent. She knows who she is. He knows they're a very special couple. We lost them from Silicon Valley forever. That's a big deal. They're in England now. They like England. They're in a suburb of London. They take the train. They take their bike, whatever they do to get to London. I'm not a big, huge believer in London. I think it's a beautiful place, but it's dark most of the time. They try to convince me in the summer it's light most of the time. Maybe I don't spend enough time there, but every minute I spend there, it always seems like it's getting dark a lot faster. I don't know what you think. But the short answer is I have a different view about England and particularly London. And I've spent a lot of time there, but they've spent a lot more time and they're convinced it's the right place. Bravo. But they still file tax returns and they have no property left in California or the United States. Zero. Wow. Nothing. Wow. Why? Because any income that comes from any U.S.-based source or worldwide source is taxable, subject to treaty allowances for what taxes they pay in England. And they have to file in England, too. So imagine how much time they have to spend. So that's the other choice you have to make, which is if you're not exiting and they haven't exited, he hasn't given up his passport. She hasn't given up her rights to work in the U.S. They've retained those. But they are really citizens more of England and particularly London than they are of the U.S. So they pay and file two returns. Now, that sounds atrocious, right? But you file two returns. You file a California return and a U.S. return. I do, right? All right. So what's step three? What's the alternative? You haven't done the exit. You're not fully exited, but you're living in a foreign country. Or the last alternative is you leave for a place like Puerto Rico. Why Puerto Rico? In Puerto Rico, you could retain your passport. You can actually say, I'm not giving this up. I'm still a U.S. citizen.
Interesting.
Okay. But you get, if you file the appropriate paperwork and you pass the appropriate requirements, you get a 15-year decree to pay zero federal taxes. That's a big deal. That could save people a lot of money. I actually said that to him before he went to England. I said, you guys should actually move to Puerto Rico first. It's on the East Coast. You should live in Puerto Rico half the year. It's dismal in England half the year. It's dismal. Yeah. Live in Puerto Rico during the winters. Stay out of the cold winters. Go to England for half the year. Go to Puerto Rico. Zero federal taxes in Puerto Rico.
Wow. Okay.
No California tax. No 13.3% maximum tax in Puerto Rico for someone who is engaged in outbound services is 4%, 4% compared to what might be somewhere between 34 and 44%. California is going to get higher, Joe. You know that, right?
Yeah. Do you think I'm what makes me nervous? And when I say nervous, I'm not losing sleep over it, but the California politicians think that no matter what they do, California will never change. I believe that, and it's sad, but I think they believe that. We'll just keep raising taxes, changing things. But so the question is this, is California unique enough with its weather, climate, business environment, geographically located to all these different places? Is it unique enough to withstand a major exodus by corporations, companies, and people? What do you think about that?
I think it's a excellent question to have an essay contest around, and we should actually suggest to our Facebook listeners that we will give, and we have to come up with something that's a big enough incentive.
Right.
Just be like giving them your book or my book or right. some handout. It's got to be like weekend in Stinson Beach.
There you go.
All paid for. We pay for the Uber to get there. We pay for all the lunches and dinners while there. Right. We set them up in a place on the beach. Like we do something really magical for a couple. And we say, write the essay, whether in favor of or against, can California survive a regime that overtaxes, overspends, too much poverty, too much street pollution, too much homelessness. We go down the list, too much traffic. I mean, we go down the list. Can it survive all of these changes that don't seem to be that friendly to business? I mean, look, when you start saying, I love women being on boards of directors. I think they're a lot smarter than most men on most boards that I've ever served on. But to force a company that's a public company to choose a woman that is not meriting, say, another man in a merit contest, so that the board has to be, if it's a seven-person board, it's got to be like three women, at least three women. I mean, look, I think that's a little bit like saying you have to have, you know, three Hispanics or three Blacks or three Italian-Americans or three whoever. I mean, I would love a rule that says Italian-Americans get preference because we've been discriminated against. But I'm not a big believer in this quota system, and I'm not a big believer you can force it. Maybe you give people a tax incentive for doing it, or you give them another incentive, but it's voluntary. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think California doing that is a good idea. Now, there's going to be some women that are going to write in saying, get that Russo guy off your show because he's talking against the female prerogative. I'm not. I'm very supportive of women. But to require it is not appropriate right. as to require an Italian-American to be on right. the board of a particular company. And so I just think at the end of the day, there's too much law in California. There's too much legislation. If you look every year, we get a book that's about this thick, Joe.
Yeah, really.
It's new laws in California. We get overwhelmed here. I mean, we're smart people. We're a really smart firm. We have really smart people. But they look at that book and they say, are we supposed to absorb? This is like a law school course. We have to absorb it over 3 years. Amazing. We have to do it in 3 months, in the first 3 months of every year. We're just reading law. People want to know, why are the lawyers so expensive? We spend a quarter of our time to half of our time just keeping up with what the law is. We don't charge people for that.
Yeah. I think the other big shoe to drop, and I know it's Santa Clara County, and I'm not sure if it's in other counties, but Proposition 13, which protects that property tax limit, you know, there's that alone is a reason why people have held on to properties for 40 and 50 years. And so the thought is, if that passes, you know, this new adjustment, they think it got a better chance to pass first with commercial. But if something like that passes, that could also have some kind of lasting effect on, you know, people that all of a sudden, in other words, if there's no end to the property tax percentage of your tax going up, especially for a lot of people on fixed incomes, that would be an interesting move.
They're going to start with commercial and probably succeed because the commercial people are so fat, dumb, and happy.
Yeah.
They're going to accept, okay, it just increases the rent, a little increment. It only applies, I think, to buildings that have at least 50 employees in it or some magic number.
Right.
Maybe it's 500. You know, you got to track these laws. It's another piece of new legislation, proposed legislation, probably take effect next year. We're not going to see a revolt. But it's a little bit like putting a frog into a boiling pot of water. You start the water, it's cold, the frog is in there. At some point, the frog's going to jump out of the water and say, wait a minute. And so we've had people like Steve King, we can mention him because he was on the podcast, who says, you know what, adios. I've lived here for 70 years. It's a nice place, but I'm moving to Arizona. That was the first episode. That was kind of the beginning of the story. Yeah. In many ways, you're seeing people now say, not just leave California to go to like Nevada, Texas, the state of Washington, all three have zero taxes, or say even further and say, you know, maybe go to Florida. If you really want to be on the East Coast. But I have to tell you, once you get to Florida, it's not that far to jump to get to Puerto Rico. Think about it. Think about it. It only adds about a half hour to a flight to Miami to get to Puerto Rico. So if you're not paying what will likely be a 30 to 40% average federal tax as the administrations change, whether this time, the next time, or whatever time it happens, it will happen. Taxes are going up. People are going to start doing it. Now, Puerto Rico's got many problems. There's no doubt that there's hurricane issues, but they affect Florida. They affect Texas recently and even Hawaii. Right. So you also have power issues on the island because when it loses, when power goes down, you know, people basically don't have an alternative source. They got to get solar. Elon Musk, if he's really smart, he moves to Puerto Rico. Elon, are you listening? If you're listening, don't even go back to South Africa. You know, he's a citizen of South Africa. He came here from South Africa.
He's got he's got his cowboy boots on. I think he's removing. He's getting ready to go to Texas.
That's stupid. That's stupid. Here's why. When you're a billionaire, go to Puerto Rico, get zero taxes, zero, and then live your life as a perpetual traveler outside Puerto Rico. But you say the demands on your time require you to be in Texas. I mean, that guy zigzags the world in his 777. He's got a jet plane that, you know, is basically a commercial airline.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, their FAA reports. I think there's a website that reports on all of where he goes. I mean, that guy is tracked more than even President, whatever the president's name is today. President Trump.
How could you
forget Donnie? Sorry, I forgot your name for a second. I guess I'm starting to have a senior moment there, Joe.
I think we're gonna have to cut out because I think you have an appointment here coming up. But
yeah, I got an appointment, but I'm pretty fired up because I have to say I've had this question come up so often, and we really do have to cover in more detail all the consequences because there are little consequences. Like, you don't want to die in Puerto Rico. Why? They have an estate tax.
Okay.
They could catch you one way or catch you the other. You could say, well, they're sucking me in to come into Puerto Rico, and then I build all this wealth here, and then what? I'm going to die here? No, you can't die in Puerto Rico. You have to go maybe to Monaco or something to die. You know, go someplace where there's no estate tax.
Well, if you pay someone enough money, they could tell you that you didn't die in Puerto Rico, even though you did. That reminds me of the airline business. In the airline business, the saying was, anytime someone dies on an airplane, wait till you land, pull them off, and then say they died off the airplane.
Oh, yeah. You can't have someone die on an airplane. That's an instant lawsuit, right?
Right, right.
It's like if someone breaks into your house and they're running away and you decide to shoot them in the back, make sure you pull that body back into the house, right? I mean, I have to tell you, Joe, there's certain rules of the street that are like rules of the jungle, and you know what they are because you're in the business, and I know what they are because I'm in the business, but there are a lot of people out there that don't know what they are, and I would say the choice of where to live is not just, while I went to school in California, I mean, like, I really do appreciate California. With all due respect to California, I do love California. I do think California is better than New York by far. I do think that California has a preferred lifestyle. So I don't want to disrespect California. I don't want to disrespect the UC system. I got a great degree from UCLA in a law degree. I got a great degree from UC Berkeley at the business school. I got lots of degrees from New York as well. But those, both business school and law school degrees, were at a very low price when I became a California resident and citizen. Right. I give a lot of respect. I pay a lot back in taxes. We gave a lot back, but I have to say they have to start listening to people like me and you about whether they're going to lose the top talent. Today, just as a footnote to the story, you're not going to believe this. I had lunch with a person who will remain unnamed, but think of him as one of the best, absolute best surgeons in Northern California, medical surgeon.
Okay.
He said, Jack, I'm thinking about leaving California over lunch. I said, what? He said, I'm thinking about leaving California. I know, you know, we've been with each other. I've known you forever, da, 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 da. But we're really seriously thinking about it. And I said, you're only about the 500th person to say that to me during this pandemic. And the pandemic has not lasted 500 days. So we're talking about multiple people per day have said that to me. So we're starting to see the beginning of a tsunami. Yeah. And I think if you are in government, who is it? Gavin Newsom. I guess Gavin Newsom is our governor. Gavin, if you're listening, spend the lunch break and talk to some of these people about how they feel about staying in California. Because if you continue to lose billionaires like Elon Musk, which is going to happen for sure, you are sending a signal to all the other millionaires behind those billionaires that it's time to pick up tent and move the campsite. And they'll still come back for their 89 days. They'll still come back for just 89 days. And they'll make sure they're out of there on the 89th day. They won't stay. And don't so they're going to get some value out of being in California, just as without paying taxes.
Not to get on, we're not going to get on a political firestorm here, but that always does give me a laugh when politicians want to get tough with billionaires and large corporations and play tough and see them leave. And then you wonder, then those are the same people that want to protect all the social programs, right? Where's that tax money come from?
Doesn't work, Joe. It doesn't work.
Well, look at what AOC did. Was it Queens or wherever it was? She ran Amazon out and they bragged about it.
Stupid. Yeah. Really stupid. The worst thing that ever happened in New York City, in my opinion. The worst thing. Yeah, Amazon would have changed an otherwise poverty-stricken area. I know that area. I used to deliver fish when I worked in the Fulton Fish Market in that area. It's not improved since that 1960s, 1970s time frame. It's marginally improved. I don't want to be disrespectful to New York, but Amazon would have completely gentrified that area. I mean, that's a whole nother topic we should pick up at some point. A whole nother podcast series on that.
All right. Before we go, remind everybody how they can reach you.
So the easiest thing is, of course, the website, which is computerlaw.com. It's actually not even on this. We just put on this ad, we just put Computer Law Group. I guess you have to search and you find lawyers for the digital economy. So that's the easiest, www.computerlaw.com. And then it's Jack, J-A-C-K, at computerlaw.com. That's the easiest way. But we do pick up the phone, 650-327-9800. We do have an office in San Francisco as well, which is 415-225-6620. We have offices actually in San Jose as well. I don't think there's a separate 408 number. Maybe we should get one. But we have offices in Los Angeles as well. We have cases in Los Angeles, but we're licensed throughout the United States in different places. So New York, we do cases in New York and Texas. We do play cases almost anywhere because we're federally qualified throughout the United States. And we're members of almost every court throughout the United States, every federal court, including, of course, the U.S. Supreme Court. So we do a lot of cases. I'm an appellate specialist, of which there are very few. And people are like, what's that? Well, it actually takes a lot of exams and a lot of practical experience to get there. And I've got literally over 40 years of experience. So we've been doing this for a while. I plan to do it for a while. I hope I can be on a podcast with you 40 years from now. Of course, it probably won't be that. It'll be virtual reality or something different. But I still want to have lunch with you, and I'm welcoming you to downtown Palo Alto, and we can do the broadcast from downtown Palo Alto, maybe.
I think next week I come to Palo Alto, we have lunch, and we do the podcast at your office there.
Right from a cafe that's open in downtown Palo Alto. We figure out a way to do it with fast 4G or 5G or something, whatever I can get done, set up for Wi-Fi for us.
All right, just make sure it's an Italian restaurant.
I'll make sure of that, absolutely. Not Greek. Not Spanish, Italian. Absolutely. Right. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. It's Joe Pichero with Real Estate Radio Live. Thanks again for joining us. But Jack Russo, we'll be back with you next week. Take care. Have a great afternoon.
You've been listening to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Discover more at reradiolive.com.